I don't know why we started there.
You don't want to start earlier?
It's fine. Let this run.
We've never, ever redone it, so we're keeping it. Welcome to another episode of Too Deep Podcast.
And we have a special guest today.
Amen. Hey, Paul has joined us. Hey.
That's not me, for reference. That's Paul Lee, who plays at Vistula with us. Welcome, Paul.
Yo, what's up, guys? Glad to be here.
Let's go. I'm actually hyped as fuck for this. Paul has been asking for, I'd say, maybe a couple weeks. He's been saying it at practice, like, yo, let me on.
Practice? So, you don't go to practice.
Yeah, you're right. At games. At games. So, we fit him in. I'm excited because, as you guys heard from the last episode, well, we'll get into it. But before that, we got to start off with some brews. This one is interesting. So, if you guys remember my boy Kev, he suggested the Brooklyn Bel Air Sours, which we didn't really like that much. But since we're in the pumpkin mood, apparently, we're going to try their Post Road Pumpkin Ale. 5%. Pretty cool bottle. It's already flaking. Poor quality. I'm just over this pumpkin, bro, already. I'm like,
it's
this
only
is like our fourth one.
No, it's our third.
Third?
Third in a row.
Let me grab it.
Oh my goodness.
Third in a row and
I'm just straight pumpkin beer.
Yeah,
like some I mean variation. Like pumpkin flavor.
No, it's because good. The highest rating Caruso's ever given was a pumpkin beer, so
which like is crazy. And like all of these have been garbage.
Cheers.
Ooh, that was like a wholesome.
How's it taste? Is it good?
Yo, now we're back. This actually, this is not bad comparatively. Yeah. I like this one.
You know why? Because this is what makes it. The last two we had like cinnamon. Like a cinnamon taste.
Yeah, it's been horrible. Yeah, this one doesn't have it that much. This is more just straight pumpkin.
Anything cinnamon just reminds me of like Red Bull. Or not Red Bull, what's it called?
Fireball.
You know that's my first ever alcohol?
I feel like that's like everybody's first ever.
And guess where it was?
PA.
Yeah, good.
Is that a PA thing, man?
No, I mean, I don't think it's a PA thing. Well, you're from PA too.
Yeah.
So shout out in the house. New Jersey fucking blows. We're now even in this room. If you haven't heard already, we have a live studio audience.
Wait, no, this is important to mention. He's back. for the first time since he's been fired.
Yo, for real. For real. Juan Zapata.
Welcome back, Juan.
Who was?
He's just sitting in.
We've reluctantly allowed to sit in on the episode. But he's back.
No, so it was at my sister's. We were taking her wedding pictures. This was back in 2013? Holy shit. So long
ago.
You
were 15, you had a sip.
Yeah, mad young. They were just hanging around the Fireball on like the bus ride over to like the range where they were taking pictures. And they had a bottle of Fireball and they said, fuck it. So I took a little sip. It was horrible. But yes, let's rate this shit. I have mine. You have your rating? You know how the rating system goes, yeah?
Which is like out of 10?
Yeah, zero to 10.
0 to 10?
10, you literally just nutted when you had a sip. That's what that means.
Actually, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah. So, 0 is like you just probably drank some piss.
I give it like a 6.5, maybe 7.
You got to go 1.
I give it a 6.
Whoa. 6
flat.
A 6?
Flat.
Yeah, I would say like a 6 flat.
6 flat. Rookie right. Score. It's okay.
Rookie score, yeah. You gotta give it. No, I mean, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You know. Alright, so you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Alright, let me hear it.
But yeah, I gotta.
Yeah.
Alright.
I actually bumped mine up a little bit, yeah.
3, 2, 1, 7, 3.
Oh! Baby, we finally got it again! I was gonna say 7-2, and I just said at the end.
Me too. Me too.
Let's go, baby. We back.
That was impressive.
Wavelengths.
That was impressive.
Wavelengths.
I was like, I took that last sip, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. That's tough. Okay.
That's it. So I mean, we've had over 60 beers together.
Yeah.
And, like, we have a similar, like, I wouldn't say the same palate, but we have a similar palate.
Very similar.
Can you imagine it, like, kind of starts to adjust?
He has a chart. Like a Excel sheet. That keeps track of everything.
So we've had 63 plus the 5-6 now that we've had this season.
So that's almost, so we're...
And then our overall average, cumulative, right here. Paul's a 6.88, I'm a 6.83. So we're really...
It's right on the money
for the average all time. But, all right. So... I've been excited for this.
Yeah.
What we usually do for our guests is we allow them to have an elevator speech. So before we announce anything and bring anything, give you a chance, say whatever you want, talk about yourself. You could say a lot, you could say a little. The floor is yours.
Yeah, just go ahead and introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? My name is Paul. Where do I start? I was born and raised out of Projects of Baltimore.
Really?
Grew up in the streets and ghetto. Probably when, was it like 2001, around that time, I had three younger sisters. When the second one was about like 2-3 years old, my dad was like, it's tough to raise a family of three kids in a rundown neighborhood in the ghetto. Mm-hmm. I mean, at that time, like, Baltimore was, like, the worst city to live in terms of, like, crime. It was, like, ultimate crime and whatnot. So, it was, like, we gotta dip out. So, once he got enough money, we hit the road and moved to Lancaster, PA.
Yeah. Huge shift. Exactly, yeah. Wow.
So, that was, like, the first time I saw a cow. Like,
Deadass, though.
Yeah, that was, like, that, like...
So, wait, how old were you when you moved?
What was that? I was born in 92, so it's, like 8, 9. 8, 9 years old. Yeah, 8, 9 years old.
And you have three younger siblings?
Yeah, three younger siblings, all sisters. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Lancaster, and that was a drastic shift. So going from, like, the ghetto, right, the projects, poverty, to, like...
Farms.
Street farms, right? Yeah. Like, farms as far as you can see.
Yeah, wow.
Going from all black neighborhood to all white neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just different, man. It was just different. Moved out there... people were different, the way they dressed was different. I actually got suspended in the first week twice.
Good for you.
Yeah, so
let them know.
Well, I thought, like, you know what I mean, it's a new school, I'm excited, like, I'm not at a Catholic school, there's no fences, there's no security guards, like, yeah. it's an actual, like, they got a it doesn't look like a jail, right? Yeah. for recess.
Yeah,
right? Okay. So, yeah, no, I mean, you don't even really right. think about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, like, there's an actual basketball hoop, not like a little crate on a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, you actually have things to play with. There's swings, mm-hmm. and all that good jazz. So I go out there. I took a little break from school. My mom was like, let's just get you some time to settle in at home. Once that was set, I start going to school, and about maybe a week or so in, right? It was like a Friday. Bunch of these kids, like, ganged up on me, right? They were,
beat,
like,
the shit out of you?
Well, no. They were messing around, and I just thought it was fun. It was fun. And then they started, like, really, like, pushing me around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one kid, like, tried to pin me down. But, like, I pinned mm-hmm. him down onto the ground and told him I was going to kill him, right? So he freaks out, goes to the teacher and says, oh, Paul said he was going to kill me. And I got suspended.
And what grade is this?
Fourth grade.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, principal was like, Paul, I know you just got here, but here you can't say that.
Yeah.
So he's
you're like, not in Brooklyn anymore.
So he's like, you can't say that no more. So it's like, you know what? You're new, so I'll just suspend you for the rest of the day. It was a Friday. Take the weekend to just kind of, like, cool off. Like, all right. Right? So distraught, you know, fourth grade, like, first time ever game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, come back, I try to be good. I try to be chill. My mom was like, listen, like, we're in a new place now. Like, let's try to, like, fit in and whatnot, right? Give it, like, 3 days. I think it was, like, a Thursday. Kids pulled up against me in the playground again during recess time.
Mm-hmm.
Same four kids, bro. Same kid. Got pinned down. Told him I was going to kill him again in the moment, right?
Yeah.
He freaks out, goes and runs and tells
the teacher. Same kid?
Same kid. Same group of kids, right? I was gonna kill him, and then
bro, at that point you got suspended again.
Yeah,
this bro, time, at that point, why doesn't the teacher suspend the other kids? Like, they're the ones instigating it.
It is what it is.
That's so stupid.
So things like that. It's just like, since then, like, be real with you, like, my time in Lancaster was just rough.
Yeah,
right? Like, it's not a lot of diversity there, right? Like, I was like,
in my to be expected though.
Yeah,
in
like
Lancaster,
in like elementary school, I was like, besides my sister, my one sister, who was in, like, the first grade, I was, like, one of two. And that other Asian kid happened to be Korean. He actually is my best friend now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My best friend for the past,
really?
Like, 20-some years. Yeah.
Wow. And what type of Asian are you?
Korean.
You're also
yeah.
Korean?
Yeah, I'm also Korean.
How do you ask that question?
Oh, if you... For wording?
Yeah.
For wording-wise, the best way to ask that is, what ethnicity are you, or what's your ethnic background?
Right.
That's like the safest route.
I mean, obviously, I know you're Asian.
No,
like,
but like,
know,
real talk, I get it, right?
To...
Like, I know sometimes for like white people, it's like hard to like, how do I
yeah.
say this, especially in this time of culture where like,
everyone gets offended.
Yeah, like, I don't want
to, I mean, I know
racist.
You wouldn't give a shit, but like, that's why I didn't really care to say it that way. I just had a brain fart and couldn't think of it.
Nah,
so.
It's all good. It's all good.
So like, at what point did you like, so like, were you going to church when you were younger? Like,
yeah, so
when did that all kind of kick off?
My mom and dad, they met in church, right? Like, church is in the Korean community, church is not just like,
I know that from The Office.
Oh, dude.
That one episode where they had the van.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So church is like a great place for like, if you're an immigrant, it's a great place to like kind of like find a community, and it helps you to kind of get connected and plugged in. They got like hookups and all
that.
They help each other. It's a very close knit community.
Now wait, quickly.
Yeah.
So what church is it? Because it's, what is it, like a
Christian?
Christian?
Yeah, Christian church.
Okay.
So
well, Christian is the big thing, right? Or is that Catholic?
Well,
like
no,
Catholic
no, no, no,
is
no.
The dot is the
Catholic. Catholic
is
like a part, like a sect,
like Protestant.
Of Christianity.
Right? So you're just no denomination.
No. So Catholicism is like its whole other thing. It's a completely separate thing. It's kind of tricky to say, because like a lot of times people will associate like Catholicism, Christianity as like, oh, they're like kind of pretty much the same thing, but just slightly different between the differences.
There's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
I knew that. I just always thought like, it's just like when people discuss
Catholicism is a
it's
part
considered
of Christianity,
Christianity,
right?
When you talk about Christianity,
same as Protestant and
no,
all
when
this
you,
other
when
shit.
Technically, no. Well, when you refer to Christian, like when we talk about it in
my
like
life's
a public,
a lie.
No, when you talk about it in like a public setting, when they say like, oh, this percentage of the country is Christianity, Catholicism falls under that category, though.
Yeah, I guess like on a more like social political kind of so when like they say America is like more than 50% Christian, they're actually just putting anybody who believes in like
Jesus.
God and like that the Trinity into that spectrum, which Catholicism technically
falls
would,
under that
but on a I guess on a more micro level, like it's there's a difference, right? Like most people, like how I try to interact, like people on the team, right? Like most of you guys grew up like Catholic.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the best way for me to be able to explain what I do to those who grew up in the Catholic Church would be that I guess like I'm a priest, right?
Yeah.
But the term is not something that I would use, right?
Pastor.
It's pastor.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, so.
But the confusing thing with that is like, for example, like, no, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like, the problem is like, sometimes that could be confusing because in Catholicism, there is a pastor because, like, a pastor is, like, just the head of the church. But I assume it's different.
So I've been to a non-denomination church before, and it was a big shock for me. Big shock, because my whole life, I'm growing up in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's wearing the gowns. You know, they have the opera, they have the singers, they have the fucking, what are the choir, not the boys, the fucking kneelers, the altar boys, they have the fucking altar boys, they walk in, there's a procession, everyone's dressed super nice,
I go
to this non-denomination thing, there's a fucking band, the fucking pastor's wearing jeans and a polo, right, everyone's kind of just wearing casual clothes, mm-hmm. and but like, it's still kind of like, it kind of follows the same routine. In a way.
Some sort, yeah.
In
yeah.
some sort of like yeah. the way they structure the mass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of similar. But like, even like, we don't all wait in the line for the wine and the bread. They pass it out in little shot glasses.
Yeah.
Or they pass the big thing around and you just take one. Like, you're not waiting in lines. And
yeah.
it felt more casual. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than, or how to say it other yeah, than yeah. that. So.
It's a little less formal.
Yeah.
So that's what, like.
Yeah, Christianity. In that sense, but it also depends, like, based on like the denominations, as you might say, right? Like, you have, and then culturally too.
Yeah, that's right? true. Yeah.
Culturally, like, for example, like, I'm Korean and I grew up in the Korean church. My dad's not really like that much of, he wasn't much of a believer. Like, he believed in God, but he was like, he hated the church, right?
Yeah.
Because he looked at it as like, the church is a bunch of hypocrites, pastors, like they all say this, Christians, they all say this, but they never actually live by what they talk, preach, read, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like, right? Even Gandhi said that, right? Gandhi's like, yo, like, I love everything about Jesus. Gandhi's like, I would be Christian had it not been for the people who claim they're Christian, right?
Yeah.
But my mom, she grew up in the church, or she didn't grow up in the church, but she was a avid believer. She's like, I want to be a part of this, right? It's my community. And so she always brought us along, me and my sisters. And so I kind of, in that sense, I kind of grew up in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just one of those things where, like, I was there. You know what I mean? I participated, and I just thought this was, like, the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at what point did you, I guess, decide you wanted to pursue being a pastor?
Can I ask a question first before you say that? Ahead. What made you fall in love with God?
What made me fall in love with God?
Like, why do you, why, like, because, like, that kind of ties into that question, but I feel like I want to understand that first before.
So, it actually, for my own story, my own personal, I guess, like, testimony behind that is, they actually tie it in together.
Exactly.
So, before this, right, before pursuing all this, I wanted to be a heart surgeon. So I was doing pre-med.
180.
Yeah, I loved biology. I was good at it, right? Science, math, like, I love that. It was a little stereotypical, but I enjoyed it, right?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all good, right? You know, some
stereotypes are rooted in.
There's some truth behind it, mm-hmm. right? So I was like, you know what? I want to be a heart surgeon, right? And there was different, like, little influences between, like, watching certain dramas, and you're like, holy crap, that's, like, that's cool, right? And part of me is like, you know, I think I would look good in a white coat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the nurses would dig that,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Dr. Lee has a ring to it, right? Right? Has a ring to it. Maybe a little too much of a stereotypical ring, but it's a good one. I like it, right? Dr. Lee, right? And then, I think also during that time, it was around 2010, there was, for black girls, it was, like, jungle fever, right?
Yeah.
During about, like, 2008 to, like, 2012, there was Asian fever for, like, white girls to Asian guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. You were living, huh?
Oh, I was. So, check this out, right? During my elementary, middle school, and, like, I want to say 9th and 10th grade, I was a loser. Right?
Yeah,
like,
okay. I was the same way, bro. Same way.
Nah, bro. I think it was a little deeper for me, bro. Because I'm Asian. I'm in an old high school. If you look at my old school pictures, bro.
He was part of, like the actual choir at school till, like, he came to college. Like,
oh, yeah?
He was, like, a real.
I was really, like, yeah.
He didn't do anything.
It's all good, bro.
I wasn't
even in the choir.
No.
I was outgoing. Like, I was still, like, on the soccer team and shit. I don't mean to cut in, but, like, this is an interesting topic.
No, because I
want to
come
topic.
After
him. Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, I wasn't really, I was kind of stuck between two groups, and I wasn't really close to one. So, like, my soccer group, I was cool, very cool with. Everyone was super cool with me. But I wouldn't be invited to their parties. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't really be invited to their hangout sessions, like, with the close group. Like, when all the soccer team would maybe go together for Applebee's before the game.
Yeah.
Or maybe we were all doing something after the game. Yeah, like, I'd be invited. I would go.
I feel you, bro.
But, like, you know, you. Like, when they're hanging out with the girls, I'm not invited. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Type shit. Damn. No, deadass. It was like that. And, like, for my choir friends, like, that's such a drastic change between the two friend groups of like how they acted. Mm. like that was your classic, my soccer was classic jock popular friend group. Yeah. Right, and then the choir is the classic music theater friend group type deal.
Got the whole like American Pie thing going on.
I never watched that movie, so I can't comment. I've heard about it, but yeah, it was just like, it wasn't like that. Like, we would all hang out, but it wouldn't be like fucking partying, fucking doing all this shit. Like, I didn't drink alcohol. Like, obviously, I had the story with my sister, but, like, I didn't actually start drinking alcohol until my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And I might have had, went to 3 parties. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, it wasn't really, I wasn't really, like, I won Mr. CRN, to that being said, which is, like, the male beauty pageant for the seniors in our school. We get a free ticket to prom, free tux. You know, I'm just kind of throwing it out there, flexing it a little.
Nah.
But that's the only reason is because, like, I had a fire ass act where me and my boy were naked on stage with towels, and we fucking twirled.
Did
I tell
that,
you this?
You did that thing?
And we twirled the towel twirling where we would flick it like this, yeah, and we would jump. Yeah. We would share it. We'd be like, ah, like that
seen
shit.
That on,
yeah,
America's
that's
Got Talent.
That's where we got it from. It wasn't the America's Got Talent one. It was actually before that. But we did our own choreography. Like, we obviously based some moves, but we actually developed our own song. Like, we mashed songs together in our own way, and then did similar dance moves, but we choreographed it differently.
Yeah.
To fit the songs we chose. I'll show you after. I won't show you now,
that's
but math
that's
funny.
Dope.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Dope.
Sorry.
No. I didn't know that.
No,
yeah.
It's
fucking
no, it's
fire, bro. Because
my story's it's similar to that, right? Like, I was a loser. Didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
It was tough. That's why, like, for me, like, gaming and anime, like, all that stuff was, like, big for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't have any friends, right? I didn't have any friends. And I go home, and that's all I do, right?
Yeah.
That's all I do. Plus, my family was on the poor side. So, we was, like, struggling to try to keep up with, like...
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't get to join things like clubs
yeah.
or, like...
Because you have to, like, pay for that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
You gotta pay. You gotta
have
connections.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're... Yeah, so, but that's where breakdancing came into the picture.
Oh.
Right? So, sophomore year, I go to this, like, youth group retreat, this youth group church retreat, and one of the counselors starts whipping out a windmill. I'm like, oh, shoot, that's cool. Oh, that's funny.
Hold on. I still have the Cherokee Indian hat.
Oh,
that's
my
racist.
God.
It is racist, massively racist. I wasn't allowed to wear it the next
you might
day
have
to school.
Cut that out.
Yeah, sorry. Beep 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 beep.
No, but yeah. So that's where I picked up breakdancing. Right.
So
I saw this
in high school.
So no.
Yeah.
So wait. So the youth group was just at your church.
No,
like
no. So a retreat I don't know if other like religions do this, but like for in Christianity, there are times where like a youth group from a church will go somewhere else, right? They'll like camping.
Go on a
whatever.
Retreat.
Yeah.
Right?
So they'll go hang out. And this was kind of like a joint retreat. Like a bunch of churches came out and they like hung out. They did like the whole,
okay.
services and all that, right, out there. So it was out there. It was like the last night. Everybody's just like chilling, right? And this counselor shows like, oh, you can do a windmill. And I was like, yo, that's mad cool, right?
Like
so,
windmill?
Yeah, like windmill. No.
No.
Like,
geez, dude, right? No, wait, like a windmill? Oh, like
the
all
three
dance,
of
like the
you
break
collectively dance. Were like, no.
So, oh,
if
so
you
like
don't
the
know,
break dancing.
Yeah, like the break dancing.
Yeah,
you know,
I got you.
Like spinning on the ground, leg swinging.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's so cool. And then I was like, yo, can you show me how to do it? And I tried it. And I didn't get it, right? But then, like, I got the hang of it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, maybe this is really cool. And so I go back home and I start trying and practicing different things, right? And then that's where I started picking it up. I basically learned everything through YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just YouTube everything and then...
Resources.
I mean, during that time, like, you didn't have that, like, everything you have now. Like, even back then, like, people were still trying to figure out how to use YouTube and do, like... tutorials.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
How to Be Ninja. Yeah. Classic. So, you watch Ryan Higa at all?
What is that?
Ryan Higa? Niga like Higa?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, like an original YouTuber.
I literally grew up with that kid. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I picked up breakdancing, and that kind of became, like, my niche at school, right? Like, I went like, the nobody to, like, oh, he's that Asian breakdancer. And I blew up.
So, like,
you yeah, that was, like, my blow-up, bro. So
That's, like, the role you took, right? Like, the archetype. I think we discussed this. I don't know if we have.
Yeah, That's the thing, is that, like...
That was your thing. That was your claim to fame.
That was my claim to fame, my glow up, everything, right? Junior year, I blow up onto the scene of, like, yo, I can break dance, right?
People start associating you with something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, they start noticing me, and then I got, like... I actually cleaned myself up a bit, you know, got a haircut, like, started wearing contacts and all that.
Yeah, right? Cared about your image.
Yeah. It's to kind of fit the mold. Exactly. Yeah. Right? And that's around that time where, like, the whole Asian fever started. It was, like, picking
Bang!
Up.
Perfect time.
Bro. I'm telling you. It also helped, like, I was going... I did have a girlfriend at that time, and we had just broken up. And it was, like,
it was everything,
right? Like, my origin villain story right there, right? Like, just going up, like, this is what's happening, right?
Going up?
And then that's what took over from my life, right? I actually stopped playing soccer and started focusing more on breakdancing.
Oh, wow. How does that work, though? Like, what do you have to, like, when you say you focus, like, was that on your own or did you join, like, some kind of thing? Like,
no, so you start, you know, getting to meet people. You start, like, it's kind of like same way you do with soccer. Like, you try to, like, find connections. You find hookups, like, different clubs, different people, and ask around. So that's what I did with breakdancing. Some people start hearing about me, like, oh, there's this guy at this school, like, he can dance. They're like, you know, maybe reach out. And then eventually, long story short, like, I ended up making my own crew. I got invited, and then separated, and then made my own crew, and we started making a name for ourselves. And from, like, Lancaster, then out to Philly, we started, because in the bigger cities you'll have, like, a lot of the better crews, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And squads, like, they're all out there. So we make our way out there, and we start, like, we keep making the trip.
So, you know? So what do you do? Like, you go make a trip like that. What do you do?
So you, like, during that
like
time.
Competition?
Like, yeah. So you look up, oh, like, oh, different forums, and then you look up, like, oh, there's a battle going on. Like, here, they're doing 3v3, 4v4s. So you jump in. There's,
was
like,
this, like, it's like a street thing, or was it, like, organized? Like,
it's
really
organized.
Super,
it's organized.
Oh, okay.
It's organized, right? Like, it's organized. So you go out there, and you'll have an MC who's, like, kind of, like, directing the whole thing, but he's, like, also the commentator. You have a DJ.
Yeah.
And then you got judges, right? And then they'll have a floor. Whatever the floor is, you gotta dance on the floor. Slippery, good, concrete, whatever. Like, you just go there. So you register your name, you pay the fee. You hop in, you compete, right, and you throw down. And so sometimes, depending on how much the sponsor has, you can win from, like, I don't know, like, 100 to 2,000.
Wow.
These, a couple years back, it got to one point, they hosted in Philly, where one crew could win, like, up to 50 Gs.
So wait, who judges that, though, for something like that?
So,
like,
they
who
invite.
Makes the decision? Yeah,
probably,
like,
notorious,
but dancers. No, who makes, like, the decision, like, who wins? Like, how's that judged? Like,
so there you have, like, b-boys, who they're called b-boys, right?
Yeah,
these guys who have the rep to be able to make, like, a actual decision, that, like, understand the scheme, like, on all the different dynamics. And so they'll be like, they'll watch it, and you'll have, like, sometimes you have three judges, sometimes you have five judges, right?
Yeah.
And then when the crews finish battling, right, the MC will be like, all right, judges on 3, 3, 2, 1, and then the judges will just point to who they thought was better.
That's it? That's how it would go? So it wouldn't be like, it would just be like, they just decide a winner. It was never, like, scoring-wise?
No,
or...
but that's the whole conversation these days of, like, is there a better way to do this than just, like, because sometimes it could be biased. Because,
like, recency bias, right?
Yeah,
you can go into, like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, or, like, oh, I mean, like, my boy's on that crew, and that kind of...
Yeah.
So there's always that, and that's the struggle for, like, smaller crews or, like, lower, like, lesser-known crews. So, like, that's what we were struggling. Because, like, against the big names, anytime we...
It's hard, yeah.
It's hard, right? Like, but...
So, that's tough.
You go do it, right?
That's tough.
And that was a big part of what I did. Because, like, for church, too, right? Like, for church, it was just me.
Full circle.
So what I did was, with breakdancing, like, God was still a big part of my life. So, I mean, I went to church. I would go out into, like, downtown Lancaster, and there'd be, like, they'd be, like, doing, like, hip-hop ministries out there. And so I hop onto that.
So everything... So during this time where you're traveling and stuff, so, like, that's the other side of it? So, like, you were still... So you'd go to, like, these kinds of things? So, like, what? How does like, the breakdancing then, like, intertwine with, like...
Well,
breakdancing... Like, what are you doing at this time in your life, right? You're at the...
We've completely fallen so far off the original question.
Yeah, I know.
I'll bring it all back.
I'll wait.
I'm asking, like, how does it intertwine with, like, the God, like, the aspect
so,
of it?
Yeah, so, what I actually ended up doing was using breakdancing as a way to evangelize to people.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, being able to incorporate hip-hop with Christianity was a big element into helping build and bring people into the church to be like, yo, one of the hardest things for breakdancers was they had no place to practice, right? Trying to, like, you can't rent a studio. Studios, like, they charge you so much money, right? So they needed a spot to practice, and I'd be like, hey, like, I mean, it's a stretch, but maybe you guys can come to my church. And so I would ask the pastor, like, hey, can we open up the church, like, on a Friday night for, like, these guys to come out?
Breakdance on the altar type shit?
Well, not on the altar, but maybe like the cafeteria.
I got you.
But yeah, so I would open that up, and then we would start having life conversations together, right? Because you grow close to these guys, boys, and all that, right? And so that was a big thing. So my home church, it's like homegrown through me reaching out to a lot of the kids in the inner cities, from like the Cambodians, the Vietnamese, like all these guys coming in.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's not a lot of Koreans, right? And that church was a fairly small church, but, like, half of the church is not Korean, is non-Korean. Mm-hmm. Either white, they're, like, some sort of Southeast Asian people group. And so that's where it began to grow. And it became kind of, like, my thing where, like, oh, so I can use the gifts and talents that I have to help grow my faith and do what I do, right?
But I feel like in order to start doing that, you would have already had to have fallen in love with God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't just do that because you're part of the church.
Yeah.
And that's, like, unless that's your answer, you know, you just felt like that was your duty since you're part of it. So, like, why did you love it so much that you wanted to start spreading that to other people?
It wasn't that I loved God so much that I want to spread that, right? Sometimes in life, you're never quite sure of something until someone outside of your bubble comes and challenges that.
What do you mean?
In other words, like, there's a worldview that you grow up with. Like, for example, if you grew up in, like, let's say Bergen County, and all you've known is Bergen County, you don't realize the different perspectives and worldviews that there are outside of that. Like in your last podcast, you guys all talked about, like, that whole cannibalism thing.
Yeah.
Right? And how cannibalism, like, for us, it's, like, just absolutely, that's disgusting. But you have certain tribes that have traditions behind that there's meaning and purpose, right? It may not be sanitary. It may not be
healthy,
but there is some sort of level of cultural meaning behind it that for us, it's very foreign, right? And for us to be able, for us to try to impose our ideals upon another may actually us be egocentric, ethnocentric.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying now. So then going back to that, so what was that outside thing to you? Like,
so for me, I'm breakdancing and, like, doing all this.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you know, like, you can't be doing all, it's like soccer. You can't be running, like, the whole time. You got to take some breaks, like, sit down. And so during the times we sat down, they start asking me these questions. And it makes me start thinking. Right?
Ask you what questions?
Things like, so what is this place? What do you
Because they weren't
Because when you grow up in something, you never really... You just think it's normal.
Yeah.
Until someone asks you, why do you do that? Like, what is that?
Okay.
Yeah, so yes.
So they start asking you these questions. And start asking, it's like, oh, who or what is God? Why do you believe in God? Right? Do you... Like, what do you mean by, like, you love God? Can you see him? And then it gets to a point where, like, then... You start thinking about these questions. You start having conversations with all sorts of people where there are people who actually know about God, who've read the Bible, but are like, oh no, I'm atheist or I'm agnostic. And then you ask, okay, why is that? And they'll have I've had conversation with people. I had one like on the subway out in Philly, right, where this guy used to go to church. He was Catholic, but when he read the Bible, he reads the Bible, right, and he's like, I just can't come to believe in a God where when he says thou shalt not kill, and then in the next like book, next three books, he's telling his people to kill these people, kill those people, kill that people. How can a God
that is good? And he wipes out fucking 99% of the earth.
Yeah, and then like you have these things where it's like, now it's like it just doesn't make sense to me, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me, and it challenges my worldview.
So you have to start thinking. Then you really start thinking, because your whole life you don't really think about it until you get challenged, and then you start to question yourself.
And so the way I perceive that is how is everybody in this world needs to have their worldview challenged and at some certain point broken, because that's where it takes you to on a human developmental level. Right.
Yeah.
On a human developmental level, to be able to really, I guess like the word in scientific terms is to evolve, right? Intellectually, socially, just culturally, in every element of what it means to be human, to be able to grow into that, what you know of the world has to be broken.
Yeah.
Because until it's broken, you will be stuck in your bubble.
Yeah. So when they were asking you all these questions and they were kind of challenging you, how did you break through and really confirm that that's what you wanted? Or that's what you knew was true and that's something you could get behind and believe in?
I didn't know. The thing is, I didn't know, right? And that's where until you're able to come to a place where you say, admit, right? Admit your defeat and be like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like my dad used to tell me, right? You never get better by always winning, right? Mm-hmm. You have to lose to understand where your flaws and mistakes are and the places you need to help develop.
So you stop believing at some point, or not necessarily stop believing,
but I started questioning.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot of times in Christianity or in just religion, I guess
we call religion as a whole.
Like as a whole, right? Doubt is not a bad thing. Doubt is not a bad thing. To doubt what you believe in is not a bad thing. In fact, I think that actually allows us to help grow as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as a collective whole. If you challenge what you believe, right, and you're able to find an answer to that as to why you believe in that, that only solidifies and strengthens what you believe in.
So that's my question then. What was that deciding factor? So you said, you know, you still don't know, but... Like, what made you stick with it? Because you were questioning, you had to at some point be like, you know, maybe you're still questioning some things, but you're still devout to it. Like, what was that answer for you?
So, when I went to Penn State, right, originally, I wanted to go to University of Maryland. I had a full ride scholarship down there.
Academic?
Everything. For pre-med. For I don't know how. Shit. I really don't know
fucking
how.
Fucking genius.
Nah. I don't
what do
know.
What do you mean, how. Nah? Get the fuck out of here. Full ride?
But it was like one of those things where it's like I showed it to my parents. I gave them the whole pamphlet, the full everything. Yeah. Right?
Must have been so proud of you.
No, they don't remember. They said no. They said go to Penn State. Penn State. I wasn't getting anything. Right? Just like that in-state tuition, like scholarship and grants. Right? And my parents didn't remember. They're like, you had a full ride. To this day, right?
They didn't understand.
I was so pissed at them because that was my dream school, and they were making me go to a local school because they wanted me to stay close to home.
Mm.
Right, I was so pissed off. Right,
yeah, I'd be too.
But you know, like in Korean culture, Asian culture, like you listen to your parents, you obey.
Yeah.
Go. So I went. I gave up on that. I went, but I was bitter. I was angry. Like, you know, F this, man. All right, whatever. I'll go. So I go, and obviously, you know, like I grew up in all black neighborhood, all white neighborhood, and they're all racist, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, Korean pride, right?
Yeah.
You know, like Korean pride. I'm like, I'm Korean, right? I'm repping that like all throughout. Go to Penn State. I'm like, people always telling me like, there's a lot of Koreans there. You'll be able to get plugged into like a real Korean community. I meet them, right? Koreans, we call them FOBs, right? FOB is acronym for fresh off the boat.
Okay.
So we call them FOBs, right? Like, yo, y'all are fresh off the boat. Y'all know anything. Hey, I'm born here.
I'm going to use that so much now.
Yeah.
You can relate that to anybody who's like...
Honestly, anybody, right?
Ugo was a foul.
So you I went, I was like, yo, I will teach me anything and everything about you know about being Korean, right?
Yeah.
So I started learning, you know, like from the basics, like how to curse, right? That's like the
first things you ask.
You always learn is how to say hello and how to say, you know...
Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. I started learning this whole all about Korean culture. I'm like, yo, I'm in the circle, right? Like, I'm Korean, man, right?
Yeah.
It came to a point, like, after about a year, I want to say like a year in, right? Starting my sophomore year there. They were like, they started saying this thing. We're like, you know, Paul, you're not really Korean. Right? At first I was like, I didn't take a thing of much, but then they kept saying it, right? And you don't think much of it in the beginning, but when it becomes there's like repetition behind it, it starts to really get to your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it started annoying me. Like, what do you mean I'm not Korean? Like I've been like learning and diving myself into that culture. Why are y'all rejecting me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like white people, black, white people, they all rejected me and said, oh, you're not American, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, they're all like, you chink, you know? All that, right? And it was like, so the Americans didn't want me.
And then you go to your culture and
they
don't
want you.
And
the Koreans are like, oh, you're not really Korean. You're more American. And so it's like, now I'm in this like, this void between.
Yeah, where you don't have like a community.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know where I belong, right? I don't know where I belong. And then there was this whole drama of like where my boys, like they stabbed me behind the back, bro. They accused me of stealing, somehow got my dad's business number, called him and demanded money from him. My dad's a real G. Like he's from Baltimore, so he was like, you call me, you introduce yourself as my son's friend, and then you accuse him of stealing and demand me to pay it back. My dad's just,
what'd you get accused of stealing if you don't
like just money, like a couple hundred dollars. And then it was like once one boy like hit my dad up, and my dad kind of like listened, and it was like because he's a very smart guy, very logical and smart. He was like, okay, let me just hear this out and then talk with my son, and I'll go from there. And then after one guy hit him up, then another guy hit him up, and then another guy hit him up, and my dad's like, what the fuck is this, right? Like, because he knows me, like I wouldn't do that, right? He knows my character, and I didn't. And so my dad gets pissed, and it's like, don't you ever dare call me again.
Yeah.
Don't you ever dare call me. But that hurt me deep, right?
Yeah, they would do that too.
Yeah, because these are the same guys. Like, they're like, yo, when you come to Korea, like, I got you on the hookups. Like, you can stay at my place. Like, I'll take you out everywhere. Right? And while they're here, like, yo, facts. Like, I'll take care of y'all here. While you're all in America, I'm going to take care of y'all, whatever you need. And then they just, like, throw me under the bus like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was hurt. I was like, so I'm not this, nor am I that. And I'm like kind of like lost in my identity of like who I am.
Yeah.
Right. And so I go back to church, and I was hurt. After that, like my scholarships fell. It was just like, you know, like if high school, like everything worked out for me. During that moment,
everything
that spring of like, it just like snowballed down.
Yeah.
My life was falling apart for some reason. Like my scholarships fell through. I wasn't even doing bad in classes, but just everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just had an absolute mental breakdown. I go back to church, and I miss the whole service. They're like doing the final like closing song.
Yeah.
I sit in the back, and I just start. I'm just like trying to keep myself together, right?
Because
I'm like the oldest kid there.
Yeah.
All the other kids are like my sister's age. After that, the pastor comes up and it's like, Paul, I haven't seen you in a minute. Like, what's up, right?
Yeah.
And that was the moment where they call this the Christian F word, right? Is when you keep coming into church and telling, when people ask you, how are you? And you keep saying, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I go, and you know, I dabble him up. He's my boy, right? And the pastor's like, how are you doing, right? What's going on? And in that moment, I try to say, I'm, right? And it just chokes in my throat.
Yeah.
Almost as if like there's a hand just like stopping the words from coming out. And then I try to switch it off. I'm like, I'm good. And it still gets choked, right? So I try one last time. I say, I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Right? And it gets choked up again. And then he, like, pulls me in, right? And I just start shaking uncontrollably. I just break down. Like all hell that had broken out in my life just broke. I just broke down in his arms there, right? Because I couldn't keep lying to myself that it's gonna be okay, like it's gonna be good. And I think that was the first time in my life that I was like, I found my place of belonging, right, in the church. Not so much like this revelation of like who I know God is, but it was in that moment that like...
You felt accepted.
I felt accepted, right? I felt accepted. It wasn't like some like existential answer, right? But it was the moment
like of... Some miracle that happened.
It was simply a rejection of my identity from the cultural side, right? I'm born in America, right? I've tried to embrace American culture and fit in. My mom told me to fit in, and they said, nah, screw you, bro. You're not here. And I go to the Korean community, like, I'm not screw you, you're not here. And I'm in that lost void where God's like, be you with me.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where, like, I think that's where I really fell in love with, like, fell in love with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those things where, like, it's in that moment of breaking that we begin to truly see who are the real ones in our lives, right? When you're
at your
like,
lowest point,
exactly. When like you could have everything good for you, everybody's gonna be up there with you. But when you lose everything, you ask who's really gonna stick around.
And like, you found that in God.
And I found that in God. I found that in the church, right? And that's where I realized like maybe this is there's something more to my life than this, right?
Yeah.
Than just like doing what I want to do and doing what I have, right? And it was funny because like, I want to be a heart surgeon because I want to save people's lives at the core of their heart. And I tell this to anybody about my story is that like, for me, God didn't tell me to give up my dream to follow him. But he said, I want you to see a different perspective of what your dream looks like. And he took me into the church and he said, I still want you to do surgery on people's hearts, but not in the operating
room. Not physically.
But spiritually with the church.
Holy shit,
so
man.
That's it.
This is crazy. This is amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Lot to unpack here.
Yeah. All right. So.
That's great.
So that moment right there, that you talked about, is that where you think you decided you want to be a pastor?
Yes and no. The hardest part is like, you gotta come back to reality, right? It's one thing to like...
That was like what? Your summer going into your sophomore year that this happened?
Yeah, it's like some... it's like springish, like spring of like 2012.
Like your sophomore year, freshman year of college?
Yeah, so...
Around there?
Sophomore year of college, I go back to school, I withdraw, and I sit down with my dad. And now you gotta have this conversation with your dad. He hates the freaking church, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, Paul, whatever you want to do, just do your best, right? And I'm like, I'll be a doctor. Yeah, go ahead, be a doctor, right? Better for him. Like, yeah, it kind of fits the mold, right? And so now I gotta figure out how do I have this conversation with my... Because my mom's like, oh yeah, this is great, right?
Yeah, your mom.
This is great. Oh, yeah. This is like, yes.
It's like a mom's dream.
Yeah, mom's dream, right? But my dad, now it's like, how do I tell my dad?
Yeah.
He just had my back. Now I'm going to, like, disappoint him, right? So I'm like, Dad. And I'm thinking, right? It's like, man to man. Let's have this talk. Man to man, right? Like, Father, Son, let's throw that out. Man to man. I need to talk with you. And I sit down with him. He's like, all right, Paul, man to man. What is it? And I was like, shaking.
Yeah,
I'm like, shaking.
I'd be so nervous.
Yeah, because, like, how do you say this, right? I'm just like, Dad, I want to be a pastor. And he just looks at me like this man's like looking into my soul, right?
Cold stare.
Yeah, just cold stare. And he just like looks at me. Kind of like, I don't even know how to explain. He just like looks at me up and down, right? And he's just like, are you sure? He's like, yes. Like in the most confident way while I'm like crazy. Pissing myself. Yeah. Like in the most confident way trying to be like, yes. Like hard ass yes. Right? Yes. And he's like, he like looks away for a second and like looks back at me. Is this really what you want to do for the rest of your life? Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, trying like, no hesitation. Yes, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, and he like, he like looks up like he's thinking. I remember his day like clear as day. And then he's like, I want you to best freaking minister that the world has ever seen.
Great father.
To the point that you could change someone like me. Mm. And I was like...
That's probably the best thing you could have ever
done. I mean, I was still like... I'm trying to process, like, what's going on? Like, what do you say? Is that a yes? Is that a no? Like,
yeah.
But I tell you this, right? For my dad, right? He didn't believe in God, or he hates church or whatever. But if there's anybody that's ever exemplified God's love for me, it is him.
It's him.
Wow. He may not read the Bible or know God like that.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because sometimes as Christians, and this is for like anybody listening to, right? As Christians, we often will try to think that like you can only find God in the places where people believe in him and such, right? But if you ever read through the Bible, you see God in everything, right? You can see it, you see in his creation, but you can also, believe it or not, to the listeners, right? And for you guys too, right? Like, you can find God in even in the people that hate God too. You can find.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
You can. Yes. Yes.
I think first off,
yeah.
Amazing story. I think that's it. Kind of it's interesting to see how it wasn't like an odd moment where you found God. Yeah. It's almost where not even God, but the church found you and you fell in love with what the church meant to you, mm-hmm. and God was a part of that,
yeah.
of that acceptance, because that's what he's all about, right? To my understanding, he's all about that acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. So, and forgiveness of who you are and things mm-hmm. that you do. So I think that that's great. So for me, I don't know if you know, I am agnostic,
yeah.
right? I was born a Catholic, mm-hmm. raised a Catholic, church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Forced to go, though. There was times where I didn't want to go. My parents still went. And I just went to go. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I would really listen. Sometimes I didn't really give a shit. But I would still call my... I still believed in God. I really hated church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't like that at all. I didn't like the fact that you had to go for an hour. You know, all this shit. Like,
I feel that.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I felt that.
I didn't like it. So, at one point, my friend died. And I have his tattoo on my, not his name tattooed on my calf. It was my first tattoo that I got. We played soccer together. We were on the same soccer team for 5 years. Mm. Really close. This one of the cool, like the nicest guys. Mm. He was the center. Like his family had an RV. When we went on soccer tournaments away, everybody in between games, we'd go in his RV. Like he was the guy. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm sitting at home one day, I get a text message, "Oh, I'm so sorry about Ryan." I'm like, "What? Like, what are you talking about? You're crazy." Another text, I'm like, "What the fuck?" Like, and I'm like, "Where are you getting this from?" He's like, "Bro, it's going all over Twitter." I go on Twitter, I start seeing like RIP Ryan, RIP Ryan, and his other friends that died. And then I get a call from one of the soccer dads. It's like, "Hey, I don't know if you heard this, Ryan passed away. We're all meeting up at our house to like be together right now, because that's what we needed to do." And it was just a horrible experience for me, you know, and that was kind of eye-opening for me, like, you know, and I guess this is the classic thing, the challenge, mm-hmm. right, that you were talking about earlier. I didn't see how God could exist, you know, and it started making my eyes open about other things. And I know it might be cliche or stupid to talk about, but like things like the Holocaust, things like 9/11, things like famine. Things, all these horrible things, children in Africa dying at young ages because of malnutrition and lack of health, like health resources, you know. Mm-hmm. To me, if there's really truly an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing God, shouldn't he be able to do or prevent these types of catastrophes and horrible things from happening? Mm-hmm. Right? And especially, I didn't really think about it that much when I was just a kid, you know, going to church, hearing about, you know, Holocaust, whatever. It doesn't happen to me. I don't really give a shit. Mm-hmm. But now one of my friends dies at such a young age of someone who I think is going to be this great person in life, and he has so much going for him.
Yeah.
Right? Popular kid, all this, that, and the other. Right? And now he passes away. So that question, that made me question my faith, and that really kind of was the deciding factor of why I started to get away from it. And ever since then, I've just... I said I was atheist, but I kind of looked up definitions, and really right now, I don't know, right? I'm not going to tell you there is or there isn't a God, but also when I see that, there are hundreds of different religions, Mm-hmm. Hundreds of different religions. You believe strongly in Christianity, mm-hmm. but somebody believes in Hinduism,
yeah.
where there's not just, it's not monotheistic, it's polytheistic, where they have sun gods and fucking ocean gods and all this shit.
Yeah.
Right? So how, like, for me, it's like, how can you be so confident to say that you are right when there's so much out there that is saying something else is right? Mm-hmm. And to me, we're saying, well, if all these things are real, then why is there shit still happening in the world today?
Mm. No, that's honestly, that's a great point. Because that's, it's not a question that, like, we wrestle with, but everybody around yeah. the world and across different religions, different cultures are going to be constantly wrestling with. And that's the point where I was talking about, like, we sometimes at a certain point in our life, we have to doubt everything we believe to be able to see where we really stand. And even those questions, right, they're relatively just kind of like floating in the air until they hit you personally. You know yes. what I mean? Like, there are times, like, even during, like, was it, like, even during the whole COVID thing, right? Yeah. Everybody's like, ah, COVID's a conspiracy, whatever this and that, until...
this guy.
Until it hits someone that they know.
Correct.
And then they see the realities of what it is. And then suddenly they flip a 180 and they're like, we gotta take this, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, take it seriously. This is no joke. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? You're this stupid idiot that was always like, oh, COVID's no big deal, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, even with Christianity, with God, with Jesus, like all that, like that's where it becomes the challenge, right? We don't think much of it until something personal happens. You know, and first yeah. of all, I want to say, like, I'm sorry about your friend.
It was very long ago. Like, I'm not over it, right? Like, I'd obviously.
Oh no.
It's yeah. still it's, but it's not like a touchy subject for me.
But that's where then, maybe that's. I want to start off with this, right? When it comes to Christianity, and I just talked about this to a bunch of people, is that we often think that there's a manual. Right, you ever heard the phrase, like, the Bible is a manual to life?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, guidelines.
That's stupid. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm telling you, for everybody, too, like, the Bible is not a manual. It's not like an IKEA manual where if you follow steps 1, 2, 3, it'll result in this. No, it doesn't. Because we just know in life, you could do everything right and still goes, like, up in flames.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the truth about life. Is that you do everything right and it's still something, if not everything, will go wrong. And the Bible tells us that, like, if you do XYZ, you will obtain ABC.
Yeah, you'll go to heaven type
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, no, right? And that's the point, is that, like, the Bible is not meant to, like, just be essentially, it covers, there's the whole macro level of things, right? But there's also a micro level story there. And when you read the Bible, like, the way Jesus interacts, right? There's an interaction of the collective, the community, the people, and then there's also interactions of the individual. And every individual's interaction is not identical.
Yeah.
It's different. And the point I'm trying to get at here is, with every individual, their journey is different. Nobody gets to where they are, right? We may all intersect at one point, but we all got there differently.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how similar it may be, the people we've met, the people we've interacted with, the incidences or experiences that we have all drastically shape who you are, right? Like, every single thing, Alex, you've been through, like, even if one of those things were not to happen, you might be similar to who you are now, but it may not be exactly who you are. And though, without realizing, those microscopic things can shift, right? It's like, what is it? You're always talking about golf last week, right, too, right?
Yeah,
golf,
yeah.
Right? It's like golf, right? You think about golf in terms of, like, the measurements of it, right? At the point of contact, one angle doesn't seem like a difference until you're hitting it out, like, several hundred yards.
Yeah, like a tiny little inch could alter the...
Exactly, it'd be the difference between you hitting it on the fairway and you hitting it in the water.
Yeah.
Right? And that's my point, is that, like, we all have a different story. And with God, right, I genuinely believe that everybody is walking a different story and we're all at different places. And the way we interact with God will always have different intersecting points. In some cases, too, some people may never even hear about God in their life.
Yeah.
Right? You think about like certain tribes out in the Amazons where they're absolutely secluded. No one has ever heard of them, you know, maybe until recently. And so you ask yourselves, how do those people hear about God? Do they not get to heaven? Right?
Yeah.
You got to ask that question,
yeah.
Right? Because the Bible tells us Jesus is the way, the only way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except through me. Meaning, in Christianity, only when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Romans tells us that if you have to profess and confess out of your mouth and also believe in your heart, right? So you can't just say it and be like, oh, I guess
yeah.
I won't have it. No, you believe in your heart. You profess as a public declaration that I believe in Jesus Christ, right? And you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Then you go to heaven. All the other things are additions that come alongside that. But he also tells us you need to go and make disciples of all nations. And so what that leads me to into this point is that there is a certain level, and this is my perspective, right? This is solely my perspective, is sin, the original sin, started with Adam, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts with Adam and Eve. And there's a certain level that I feel like as a society we've deviated from is a word we call responsibility. We have a unique definition today of what responsibility looks like. But if you fuck up in life, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But to try to constantly blame somebody else as to why this happened. Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, there are certain things that have affected that. But ultimately, your life course and everything all results in your choices.
Free will.
Free will, right? Free will. And so that free will, as so much as you want it, like in America, we love our rights, right? We absolutely adore our rights. We will do everything to protect our rights. We hate it when somebody impedes our rights. Why? Because we love the idea of freedom.
Okay.
The land of the free. Right?
Yeah.
And so what you choose to do and what you choose to live with is solely up to you. And what God wants in your life is more than anything. It's yes, for you to go to heaven. But he doesn't want to manipulate that way of your life into heaven. But he wants it to be healthy. If you guys know, are you in a relationship? I know you two.
Yeah,
are,
I am.
Right?
Everybody in this room is.
Okay. When it comes to dating or any kind of relationship,
shout out Juan for getting cuffed up. Regardless.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know.
Now
man.
You know. Sorry, all the ladies. Drop them off a snap now.
You'll get killed anyway.
Anyway, if there's anything we understand, right, it's the idea of what a healthy relationship looks like versus a toxic one.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you laughing, bro?
Carry on. Just carry on.
Maybe not. Maybe some of us do something.
No, it's okay.
But, like, even on, what's it like, YouTube, TikTok, I forget, right? One of the reels, right? I see this girl talking about how, like, this is my 6-year, I think it's a trend, right? The 6-year trend of, like, I started here, I met this cute boy, but I was in a relationship. I broke up, I was depressed, we started talking, but then I went back to my ex, right? And then I'm like, it's this whole story. I'm reading the comments and everybody's like, she belongs in the streets.
Streets.
You know, she's like, no, like, nah,
yeah.
somebody save the guy. Someone reach out if you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it's those things. So like, we're trying to figure out what a healthy relationship looks like. Right, with the whole mental health issue and just trying to see what it means to be healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like all that. We all trying to figure out whether it's through yoga, whether it's through, I don't know, TikTok reels on steps 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
But God also wants a healthy relationship. Like, you look at the Bible and how it talks about, like, there's all these laws, right, the 10 Commandments, but Jesus summarizes all the laws into 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love God, love your neighbor. But if you look at the details, and this is one of the things that I kind of came across, this, like, I guess, like, existential moment of, like, when God says love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, right? That's the very first command. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It's something that I just, like, discovered while reading that, and I thought about, for us as humans, what are the 4 healthy places we want to really, like, develop?
Family.
Think simpler, right? Your body. As an individual, your body, your mind, your heart, and your soul. And long before we were even discovering this, God's like, I want you to love me the way I love you, with a healthy body. I want you with all your strength, right? With all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. He's talking about, I want you to be able to find who you are, right? Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And the only way that's going to work is if we have a healthy relationship here. Like, you're right. He's an all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God that could easily, if he wanted to, make us all believe in him and get all that stuff done. He could snap his finger, I don't know how, whatever, like Bruce Almighty, like boom, whoosh, yeah. Right? Like lift his hands, all that jazz to get rid of and make everything perfect. But then you simplify that down to onto like an individualistic level or a communal level. Somebody does that. What do you call that person?
Dictator.
Exactly. A tyrant. Talk about Hitler. Hitler was pulling whoever you want to talk about.
Be
right?
Perfect. Yeah.
And we talk about how like how God, right? How God, we almost imply this idea, like, God, if you're so good, why do you allow these things to happen? But there's a sense of responsibility that I feel like we also try to deviate from.
So, yeah, so I like the points that you're making. I think I'm glad that you brought up the free will. And then you also mentioned, you know, he's all powerful. So do you believe that everything happens for a reason, or do you really believe in free will? You know, because you're saying that, like, I've always heard, you know, God has a path for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're
he's
just
control,
following, like,
yeah.
Everything happens for a reason. Like, if something bad happens,
yeah, you know,
it's because,
this is a common debate
it's because,
had.
Yeah, it's
do
because
really
God
free
wants
will
it.
If,
so,
if,
yeah.
If God, like, if God has, like, a
yeah.
Well,
path.
No, I mean, that, I feel like that answer is obvious. If you have a clear path, you obviously don't have free will. If God sets you on a path, then you don't have free will because you're following that path. My question is, do you believe that we do have free will, or do you believe that we're on a set path by God?
I honestly, I believe in both. Like,
that's what I said. That's what I told you.
How does that make sense,
yeah.
though?
So,
like, how can,
because
you, can't
you
have
multiple
you can't have
paths.
Both.
You have multiple like paths that you could take based on your free will. Like if you,
but
you
God
have,
only has one path for you, correct?
Yeah, he knows what you're going to do, but like you
then if he knows what you're
going to
do, then how do you have, then
so,
it's not free will if
so
he knows what.
Think about it like this, right? Think about it like this,
I'll,
right?
I'll
let the pastor speak, please.
I look at it as this, right? Like if there's a destination that you, that we're trying to go to, right? I'm thinking of like a road trip. Like if all of us decide to hop in the car right now, we want to go somewhere, right?
Cali.
Okay, so we start from here in North Arlington, New Jersey, and we want to hit up Malibu, Cali, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
How many ways are there to get there?
I mean, there's, like, yeah, a ton.
There's a ton. And my point is that, like, for all of us, there are a multitude of ways to get how we want to get there. Right, and
yeah.
that's our free will. At some point, you want to take a pit stop, go ahead, take a pit stop. If you want to go swing by Alabama, if you want to swing by Missouri, I don't know, wherever,
yeah,
right?
You can
do it wrong, but you are going to deviate from that path, right?
Yeah.
You are going to deviate from that path, right? And that's up to you. That's up to you. Like, God has a plan, and he wants to see you there, right? He wants to see you there. And there's in his, what he sees, and he has seen before you were even born, like, what's going to happen. But then here's the question that then begins to be asked is, then why would he even let you be born then? Why would he make you? If he knows, like, this guy's like, he's a
good
lost
question.
Cause.
Haven't even thought of that.
He's a lost cause. If God said, Caruso, you are a lost cause. This guy's never going to come to Jesus. He'll grow up in the church, but he'll never, like, accept him. So what's the point of your life?
You're making me question everything.
And that's the point where we have to come back, right, to the responsibilities of our own choices, right? For God, and this is where I'm actually, not too long ago, I'm being challenged in this idea of, I look at mankind and humanity, how it sometimes it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
Like, I'm driving on GS, like, the Garden State Parkway, and I'm just like, this place is hopeless. Yeah. Right? When I look at
the idiots driving.
Exactly, right? And I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then sometimes you like talk to people and you're just like, why?
Yeah. Right? Who are you?
Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah,
yeah, you're like looking at life.
You see that TikTok of the trans girl who's like, I'm glad you asked. You ever see those videos?
No.
No? All right, never mind.
I don't want to see them.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
Now that I said it, it's going to pop up on your phone. Sorry, but
no,
regardless.
But that's what I'm saying, is that like,
she's a lost cause. I'm sorry.
And
continue.
And even in our own lives, you have people who have disappointed you, who have frustrated you, who have hurt you, right? Who have shamed you, left you just like depressed, right? You, for you personally, your boy
yeah.
Ryan passing away,
yeah,
right, and that leaves you in a very heartbroken, disappointed place.
Yeah,
and it's in those places. Like, how do we engage in that, right? How do you engage?
How do you respond?
How do you respond to those hard falling points, where you hit that rock bottom? How do you respond to that?
I get, but my response, like, I found peace
mm-hmm.
in accepting that there's no real answer, and that life is not meaningless, but life is open.
Mm-hmm.
Life is for you to choose and for you to decide what you want to do. And if shit happens, it fucking happens, and it fucking sucks. People get cancer. It's fucking horrible,
mm-hmm.
right? You could, like you said,
yeah.
you could do everything right in your life. You could be a fucking grade A scholar. You could be a fucking excellent athlete. You can get a full ride to the best college ever. You can get a great job after college and be living. And then, boom, fucking brain cancer.
Mm.
My grandma got cancer from secondhand smoking. She didn't smoke a cigarette in a day in her life, but in her time, in businesses, they smoked cigarettes inside, and the fumes got into her so much, and she was around the fumes so much, she got fucking lung cancer and died.
Yeah.
Right? So shit fucking happens, bro, and I get that. But my whole thing is, that's what I accepted, is that there's no real answer. Because my question then to you is this. God's plan for my boy was to die in that car that day?
So...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I understand
yeah.
you were trying to, not flip it, but you were trying to pose the question of, you know, how did that situation affect me
mm-hmm.
and my relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
right? But my question is, well, what was his relationship with God then?
Mm-hmm.
God decided that
mm-hmm.
he was supposed to die that day. You know, yes, you have all these different paths to get there,
mm-hmm.
but he was going to die in that car crash. And I won't get into it, but, like, I'm not going to, you know, tell the whole story because I think I mentioned it before, but... It's not really that important, but, you know, he got in a car with some girls that didn't have a license. They were young,
mm.
and he was with his friends. They were speeding on a highway, got in a crash.
Mm.
You know, three of the boys died. The two girls survived, and one of his friends survived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like why was that God's choice for him to die there?
Yeah.
You know?
You asked that question, why him?
Exactly.
Right? Why just him and not them? Right? You ask... all these hard questions, and it's that point where I came to I'm coming to a realization of asking that question. Is like, God, like what do you see in us?
Yeah.
Like, for Pete's sake, like, what do you see in us that still tells you that, like, it's gonna work out? You ever have those, like, overly optimistic people?
Yeah.
Who just seems to, like, nothing you can possibly do to bring it. Like, I don't know if I can say that. There's a guy on our team who has, like, you cannot phase him. You know what I'm talking about?
You could say the name.
You know Rado?
Oh, yeah.
This guy,
yeah.
like, has the utmost, like,
unshakable
confidence, right? That, like, if it was me, I could have done it.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes I'm like, God, it's like, look at the world right now.
Yeah.
It's a shit can, right? And I look at, like, my life, and then sometimes I'm just like, look at, like, why do you still have hope in humanity? For what purpose and reason? Like, why?
Me?
No.
Just in general.
Like, what hope do you see that you would send your son, your one and only son, a part of who you are, to die for all of mankind in the hopes that, so ever how many years it takes, like, it's gonna work out? And I'm like wrestling with that, because that also challenges the way I interact with people. Right? Like, unless you fit the mold, you're a lost cause to me.
Yeah.
Right? If you're just like, you're just like godforsaken stupid, like, you're a lost cause. If you're just, you know, you guys know what, yeah, I'm saying, right?
I got you.
But there's a part of me that this is a stretch. Okay, this is me going on a whim, but this is where then maybe I know, and this might, for some of you guys listening, this might sound really like effed up, but what if, it's a what if question. Okay. What if God allowed your boy Ryan to die, right? So that you could break out of your mold.
And fall further away from God?
No, but maybe...
But that's the part of where then... Like, you wouldn't even ask these questions, right? You and I wouldn't even have this conversation right now.
If it wasn't for that. You wouldn't have these doubts.
But it's not all about me. It's not all about me, though. Yeah, but
what if
the... Like, what about his family?
Yeah, but like...
And that's what I'm saying, is that, like, for us, in our own world perspective, we are able to see only from one human's view. Like we said, right? God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all that. So he has his own journey that he's also walking with his family. He also had his own journey with Ryan. He's having those journeys with those two girls and other boy that survived, right? Wherever in their story they are, same thing for Ryan's parents and same thing for you. Everybody has their individual story that God is walking and trying to have this relationship.
So his death was for the greater good.
But you have to see it from this perspective. What if, now, Paul, you could budge in whenever, but I'm just going to say this. Now you don't know, also from you saying, like, how do you know that, like, let's say, for example, if it was God's reason, like, and we all, mm-hmm, like, for example, like, I believe, Paul, mm-hmm, believes, like, he's, like, in a better place now, you know? So, like, it doesn't matter that he died, because, like, he's okay now, you know? Like, all right, it's like, oh, I left this life, but, like, mm-hmm, I'm in heaven now. Like, I'm fine. Now, the point is, like, who gets affected by that most? It's the people here, right? That's the question that you're pointing out. Now, you have to see that that's it. From your perspective, it's like, okay, so it makes you immediately ask these questions, and it probably made his parents ask the certain mm-hmm questions, like, how, like, why is this, why did this happen, you know, like, why did my son have to die, like, this is unfair, like, this is, like, how could this be real, like, why couldn't it be me, right? You know, people always say that, or, like, the good example is, like, one of, like, Chris's old, my brother's old teammates committed suicide, right? You know, we knew the family fairly well, you know, it's like a youth Vistula team, and, mm-hmm, like, as the kid got older, like, he committed suicide, and it's like, just imagine, like, the questions, like, the his parents at his family asked then, it's like, then you, those people really question themselves, because it's like, what did I do wrong? Like, you start blaming it, because, like, that was, like, a choice, so then it's like, okay, like, how does that impact, like, what that makes you, I think what Paul's trying to say also, and I agree, is that impacts that specific death or something like that, or an event or anything, impacts our perspective in some kind of way. And maybe that's for a reason. Maybe that allows us, because, like, if you didn't ask those questions, maybe you'd still go to church or something, but you'd be like,
fuck this.
Or you wouldn't. Altar boy.
Yeah, like you yeah, might just sit there and be like, okay, like you don't question anything, and realistically you'd be still, like, you might not have faith anyway, right?
To your point, I'd be able to say that I believe in Jesus, but I don't
truly. Yeah, exactly. So now it's like, now it's like you're saying, like, oh, like, I don't, now you're making all these questions, and maybe, who knows, down the line, like, you might say no now, but then, like, something happens, and maybe yes, maybe no, but, like, there's a reason for that, you know, like, maybe, like, that's part of you, like, breaking out of that, like, fake kind of belief.
That cycle, like, even sometimes people don't realize they're living in a lie until someone comes out, right? Like if someone's in a toxic relationship, you don't know when you're in a toxic relationship. So sometimes someone comes in, like one of your boys kind of just,
yeah, and just
finally tells you the truth. Like, yo, she sucks, man. Like as a person,
yeah.
Like she's not it for you. And until someone actually tells you, you won't even know, right? You're being a simp or you're being whatever, right? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But until someone is able to step in and break that cycle, right? If we're stuck in an endless cycle of hatred, at some point someone has to say, like, oh, you killed my boy Ryan. Well, I'm going to kill, you know, your person and then that person. And it's just, it's like, it becomes an endless cycle of hurt, an endless cycle of hatred. And you ask, what is going to possibly break this? And that's the story you see in Hollywood and cinemas all the time, is that, like, what finally breaks that mold? Who's willing to make the sacrifice? Whether it's like Avengers, right? You think about how many people Thanos was trying to kill or had already killed, and for the greater good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark, he, you know, spoiler alert, snaps his finger and sacrifices, right? He sacrifices himself.
And Tony Stark is Jesus Christ.
Well, realistically, right? Sometimes you may even consider that Hollywood, they bite the stories off of something. Why? Because at the core of it all, right, how many people did that have that moment have them ball in tears?
Yeah.
Right? But you think about the kind of impact that the core of that story sounds so similar to the Bible, right, of what Jesus does, how he gives his life. I imagine, like, a mix of, like, Doctor Strange telling him there's only one way, and then, what's that chick that blonde? That
I don't know. I didn't watch
Black Widow.
No. His girl. His girl.
The redhead.
Potter.
No.
The redhead. You know what I'm talking about?
The Russian girl, right?
Not the Russian girl. Not Black Widow. His wife.
No.
Yeah.
His secretary chick, right?
The tall chick.
Yeah. Right. She. Yeah.
No, she doesn't. No. She was in the Iron Man suit. She got the powers in the third movie.
Oh, I don't know. But she loves him, right? But she also knew that this is who he was.
First fact check. I'm just gonna throw it up. That's bugging me.
This is who he was, and this is what he had to do, and he and she knew, right? And
Pepper part of me feels Potts. Like,
yeah, Pepper Potts.
Fuck. That's what it was,
right? And part
Poppins.
Of me, part of me feels like though, like that's accumulation of if God was a person or a certain group of people, like that would have been like the Avengers of like what they felt of seeing Tony give his life.
So we're talking about Jesus, right? And I kind of want. I know we've been running long, but this is amazing. Yeah, this is amazing. So I don't really care. So like, my whole thing is this, right? God sent his son before, and like he performed all these miracles, and that's what the New Testament is, right? They're writing all these stories, and that's kind of like that's the proof that, like, I'm a logical guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a very logical guy. I've said this before. What I hate, the reasoning that my parents gave me the most that I hated is because I said so. Mm-hmm. Because I'm your parent. Well, why can't I go out with my friends? Mm-hmm. Because I said so. You know, like, I can't buy into that. You know, if my boss is going to tell me to do something, right? And I've been kind of played in the past before where they give me this big project and, like, I want to prove myself, so I do it. And then at the end, it's like, you know, that was really just to see what you could do, right? I want to know why I'm doing something. I want to believe in something. Like, I believe in Shamrock and what they're for and what they do, all this shit, right? So if I want to believe in God, like, you know, I just have to believe. Like, I just have to have faith.
Yeah.
But the people back then didn't need to have faith because, allegedly, they saw Jesus Christ. He turned water into wine. Mm-hmm. Fucking all this fish story and all this shit, right? So, like, why, like, if there's all these questions now, and I understand your earlier point, right?
Yeah.
You know, at any moment to you think God could just fucking snap his fingers, raise his hands, and make everybody believe in God, right? But what's the point in that? Because then at that point he's affecting the people he's created, right? He wants them to have the free will. Yes, he has the power to do whatever he wants, and he knows this, but they have the free will to make their own decisions, which is why there's a distinction between heaven and hell, kind of making sense to me all now, right? That the people that take their free will and decide to take the good path and the path that God wants get to share the eternal glory with him, but the people that stray too far go to hell. I get it now. But my whole thing is that I just, if like back then it made sense. You had Jesus, you had the miracles, people saw it, they could believe in it, but now it's just stories. Mm-hmm. And the book has been revised many times, as you mm-hmm. may know, mm-hmm. right? From what it was and now it is now, they've toned stuff out, they've yeah. taken stuff out completely, they've added stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and I know you said, you know, it's not a manual or anything like that, but that's what the main story is, right? That's where it all comes from, is the Bible. So my whole thing is that, what is keeping him from sending some massive message, some fucking clouds written in the sky, God is fucking real, like, the fucking sun goes out and flickers in Morse code, I'm fucking real, or some shit, like, I don't fucking know. Yeah. It fucking starts raining fucking blood, I don't fucking know. Yeah. Like, why isn't there something crazy that he could do, just, not necessarily to make people just brainwash believe, like you were saying a dictator does, but just to show people that he's fucking out there. Mm-hmm. You know, so, bring his son back.
Because he has different ways of doing it.
Yeah, but he's done it before, right? He did it before, so why can't he just do it again?
So here's the story of Elijah, right? A character in the Bible.
Is that where he told him to kill his son type shit?
No, that's Abraham, right?
That's Abraham.
So Elijah...
The burning bush?
So, no. So this is way after, right?
So, fuck! I'm trying.
No. Honestly, like, the things that you know, it makes sense, right? And the thing is, like, if you look at Elijah has this point in his story, right? He's a prophet for God. He's like if you talk about, like, you know, all the prophets in the Old Testament, like, he's like the big three, right?
Okay.
Like when Jesus goes to be, like, transfigured, his boys to his left and right were Moses and Elijah.
The
right?
People on the...
On like, when he goes crucified? Up the mountain. He goes up the mountain where, like, his face shines up. People can't see his face. And the people that the disciples see on his sides are Moses and Elijah. Elijah is one of the two people in the Bible that never die, but they go straight to heaven. Now, here's this, right? Same guy we're talking about that goes straight to heaven. Elijah just engages in this whole, like, what I call, like, the battle of the gods, right? You have the prophets of Baal. This is in 1 Kings, I think 17, 18, where they're having this whole battle of, like, whose God is real. Elijah's like, nah, my God is real, the living, one true living God. And they got like 400 prophets of Baal saying, like, nah, our God is real. And so Elijah's like, all right, y'all go first then, right? Y'all go ahead, do your thing, and let's see if your God is real. If your God is real, let him ignite your offering on your altar without you guys lighting it up, right? And so they start, the prophets of Baal, they all do this thing of cutting, they start cutting themselves, they're all dripping blood, like this, it's a fiasco, nothing happens. 400 of them. Elijah starts praying and says, all right, my turn. So does the thing, right? Boom. Fire falls from heaven, licks the altar, and boom, right? Then it happens. And that's what we're talking about. Like, where is that kind of
thing? Where's that shit?
Where, like, I hit right? a stick in the ocean and it splits the seas. Where's the whole, like, I pray to God, fire falls down. Like, I stretch my hand and Hurricane Ida is gone. Right? Yeah. Like, where's that thing? Elijah, he shows my God is real and commands all the prophets of Baal to be killed. Queen Jezebel, at the time, says, WTF. And she gets pissed, like livid pissed. And it's like, if it's the last thing I do on this earth, I'm going to kill you. Elijah gets word of this. He gets pissed, scared, starts running. Now you can imagine, when you see a miracle that you perform, not you see, you did it, mm-hmm. right? You'd be like ecstatic. Like, did you just see that, bro?
Yeah.
Like I'd be hyped.
They got superpowers.
Exactly. But then you realize that now you're America's most wanted, right? I guess, like, you're Bible's most
Baal's
wanted.
Baal's most wanted.
Yeah, you're Baal's most wanted. Right? Now you're on the run. And you think about the reality is, like, those people that you read in the Bible, they're also human just like us. They have emotions, they have stress. They have mental health, they have physical health, they need to eat, drink, sleep, all like us. And you imagine the stress he has trying to run from a queen.
Yeah.
Right? That's like if suddenly, like, the President Biden's like, Caruso, he's gotta go. And now you're on the run. How? What do you gotta do, right? And Elijah goes on this run. He's like, he's having a meltdown. Goes up and hides in this mountain. Yeah. And in this mountain... in 1 Kings 19, it talks about how on the mountain, right, there was a great wind blowing, knocking out rocks and everything. Then the whole earth starts to shake, and then fire happens, right? And it tells us how
God was in none of those. Now, here's the thing. With for Elijah...
That was just natural disasters.
We don't know. But for Elijah, there was an established pattern that he had. That when he needed to find God, it was in these things. Even in the old... Like, even backtracking, right? You talk about the burning bush.
Yeah.
Right? He was... Is God in the burn, like the burning fire? Is it in the massive winds? Like, God, where are you in all these big ass things? And then comes after the fire comes a gentle whisper. And Elijah realized God is in the gentle whisper. And so oftentimes we think that God has to come move in the most dramatic of ways. But sometimes God also understands that you and I both cannot comprehend the massive and greater things. We're still trying to, even after all these years through technology, we're still trying to figure out how space, the universe, all this, and even how the earth, creation, evolution, time, space, matter, we're all trying to still figure that out. And God understands that, like, if he worked everything in the massive, all we would ever do is expect the massive, to the point that it kills the most authentic and real of things.
Which is
even having a relationship like you and me,
but, but why can't he give that gentle whisper to one of us?
He can.
Who says
the point? The point. No, no. The point.
Like,
is,
I haven't heard God's voice.
No. But that's not. It's not about that. It's like there's certain things that could happen where you see it.
And so
there's a specific experience. It might. All right. It might not be a gentle whisper, but it's something that happens. That's like, this is it. This is. This
but how
is
do you know that's God and that's not and one so, of the Hindu so, gods? Because though, you know
like
saying?
That's it.
Oh. So here's the thing, right? In those gentle whispers, oftentimes, like, we may, like, as Christians or, like, people of God, we may ask, like, okay, so if God is real, I want to pray. But, like, God, like, I just broke my leg. I want you to heal my leg. And I think it's even worse in our generation and our culture right now because we're a culture of instant gratification, right? Like, you look at your phone, you open up TikTok, and if the stories don't open up immediately, you'll, like, try to swipe down to refresh a million times, if not, then just close the app, all within a span of like 3 to 5 seconds. They say right now, psychologically and sociologically, we have an attention span shorter than a goldfish, right? Less than 3 seconds. So we're a generation that wants things like on the snap of our finger, right? We live like we got all six stones in our head. Like, that's what we want, right? But sometimes God knows that the healthy things in our lives don't happen instantaneously.
But why do it instantaneously before and not now?
Because there are moments where yes, he will. That's what where he will move in the big ways, right? It's almost like asking, like, people ask you, Crew, so why did you punt instead of throwing the ball?
Because my punts go far.
So then God says my miracles go far too. Right? If he wants to go big, he can go. That's up to you, bro. The ball's in your hand, right? And as field players, who are we to challenge you and ask you, why do you do what you do as a goalie? That's your decision. We talk about
why shoot instead of pass.
Yeah, like why shoot instead of pass, right? Like we all have
why
our decisions.
Why pass when you could back heel?
No, but it's one of those things where it's like we demand our rights so much and our freedom to be able to do whatever the fuck we want, but when it comes to God, we're like, no, you're not allowed to. Why didn't you do it my way? Why didn't you save him? Why didn't you heal me? Why'd you let me get hurt? Right? You question everything and demand and try to restrict everything with God without allowing him his will to be able to do what he needs to do best.
Yeah.
But in the same way, right, if we hit that void, right, where we hit rock bottom, even for Elijah, he knows that the healthiest way for Elijah to be able to help get back on his feet in that moment was not in another shebang moment. But realize, like, if your girl, right, what's your girl's name?
And Andrea.
Andrea. If Andrea is, like, having a mental breakdown.
Seen him.
Is the best way to just, like, let's say, get down on one knee and propose? No. I mean, maybe, right? It might work. It's not to say it won't.
Definitely
right?
not.
I don't know, right? No. So, but that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Not the moment.
Yeah.
It's not the moment. What's the moment to do right there? Just sit down
care
right next
her.
To her. Care for her. Cuddle with her. And just Sometimes you don't even need to say anything, right? Just be there for her. Mm. And God knows that too. God, as I said, going back, right? God doesn't want just like get his things done, but he wants to do it right. He wants to have a healthy relationship with you and say, I want to do this right. Listen, you already been through a bunch of toxic, stupid relationships. You might be blaming him, but that you decide to step into those relationships. You decide to pick up that chick. You decide to talk to those people for whatever reason, right? Yeah. And you get tossed up in all those things, right? And you blame him. And that's going back how we constantly deviate from our ability to be responsible for our own actions. And so if I allow God to do what he does and I do what I do, and we have a healthy communication, then that begs the question, how would your life look different? How would your life look different?
Yeah.
Right? I know you go to church and all that, yeah. Right? But
I might feel like it's a little worthless.
Maybe.
Might feel like, then what's the point if... Oh, damn. I get it, because, like, let's say, for instance... I get the answers, right? God, for some reason, I'm like, God, fucking light this fucking tree on fire. And boom, it goes up in flames.
Are you really going to believe?
Well, yes.
Maybe.
Or, like, at that point, that's the proof I was talking about. Like, if I'm like, God, if there is God, right? I mean, it could be some fucking being that's trying to fucking persuade me into believing in him, and that's why he lights the tree and it's not God, right? Could obviously be that. But if I'm like, it's God, God, light this fucking tree and it blows up, I might feel a little bit worthless. I might feel like, if that's the case, then if there's something really out there that's dictating everything in my life, then what's the point of me living this life?
So that's where, right? That's where, remember I was saying, like, God will sometimes speak into our lives. Not only in the ways that, like, that may seem like godly, right? Like, you're not always gonna find God in just the Christian places or like the church and all that. Like, I experienced God's love more than anything through my dad, who hates the church.
Yeah.
But it's also true that we also begin to understand the truth about, like, what a relationship looks like. Well, God says he wants to see what a healthy relationship looks like by us desiring community, desiring a relationship with somebody. Whether it's friendship, whether it's a significant other, whether it's family, right? God comes and exemplifies those things through people. If you ever look through the Bible, God does these things, but if you ever look at the core of it all, what does God really use to make those things happen?
People, yeah.
And it goes back to that all circles around to what we were talking about, is if God is so good, why does he let all these things happen? And God, for me, my belief is that God is good. He's good all the time, and all the time he is good. Praise God. Amen to that, right? But he is good in the way that he has sent his people to go do what he has commanded them to do. Matthew 28 talks about that, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all the commandments I have taught them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is saying, right, there is shit going around all over the world, guys. Jesus is saying, I'm going to heaven. I'm ascending back. I've risen. I've died. I've done my part, and I've risen again. I've brought salvation. Y'all, 500 people, as well as my 12 disciples, y'all see me now. It's happened, right? You are living proof that this is real. I'm going back. Y'all.
Finish the job.
Exactly. Right? And nothing pisses off a coach more when a substitute goes into the game and fucks up. Right?
Bodo 101.
That's a college coach. That's
dead ass.
And how do you think God... You think God doesn't get pissed off, right? He gets pissed off. It's like, yeah. What are you guys doing? Right?
The disciples come from...
Are you talking... Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, like, you asked this question. Yeah, like, you asked this question. Okay. If hunger... There's world hunger. People are going hungry. Grusso, how much your computer cost you?
Oof.
Okay.
The computer itself was
just
a little under
$2,000.
On the price of oof,
how many people could you have fed with that oof? You know what I'm saying? And you're talking to me about God is... And you're telling me that if God is so good, right, that if he's so good, why is he letting all these people go hungry? If you think you're so good, how many people are you?
Okay. That's like a very different question to me. Like, but that's because still, that's my success and my something that I, and yes, you could say, well, God gave me that success and I understand that, right? But I don't have the capability to just give. I have goals and aspirations. I have things I need to save for. Yes, I don't need this PC to fucking survive, right? I could just buy a nice cheaper laptop and I'd be able to get through college and get through work and be fine, right? But if I really want to have true happiness, this brought me a lot of fucking happiness. Okay, I know people say money doesn't buy happiness. Fuck that shit. Money definitely fucking buys you happiness. We had a whole episode on this.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is, yeah, I could have taken that money and taken the difference of what I paid for all this whole setup, because just that cost me $2,000. Mm-hmm. But the monitors and the stand, everything probably cost me closer up to $3,000. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I could have bought a $600 fucking tablet, been perfectly fine, and given the other $2,400 away to some charity for food or, in your point, whatever. But that's, I still have to think about myself.
And that's what I'm saying is that that's why everybody's going through that journey, because we are a very self-centered culture, right?
But you have to be to survive.
To survive? What are you trying to survive?
Like,
are you like in an apocalypse? Are you going hungry?
So when I say survive, I don't necessarily mean like famine, right? My parents worked very hard to be able to provide for me and get everything that I needed to live. Once I graduated college and I had my own job, with the exception of a few things, maybe 2%, I'm fully dependent.
Yeah.
Independent, sorry. I'm fully independent, right? And I've always strived for that. That's always been a goal of mine. So yes, I like to save my money up because I have aspirations of buying new cars, buying a house with my girlfriend, right? Renovating that house. Plural? Huh?
Thought I heard an S at the end of that word. Girlfriend.
I'm playing. I have all these goals, right? Like, when I have this house, I don't want to have a bare minimum house. I don't want to have this small apartment and all this shit, right? I want to have a great life with as many material things that I want to have. Because that's what makes me happy, right? So why would I then, you know, spend that money if I'm not extremely affluent? I have thousands of dollars to just throw away. Why would I then spend that money on other people?
And that's just this. So like, that's the reality and truth is that that's just where we are, right? I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, right? Of course, you have to eat, you have to drink, you have to, basic necessities, right? Biblically speaking, if you were to become a father or a husband, you have responsibilities to take care of your wife, your family, and as well as your parents, all, right? You got that responsibility. Now, granted, in America, there's a culture that we have, the American dream of buying your own house,
the white picket fence,
all that, right? But how much of that really shapes us in the way we view the world, right? Versus how God sees the world, and that's where it's that difference of perspective of what we see down here and what we want, and that's where you have that conversation with God. It's like, well, God, this is what I want, and God.
I feel like it's just not really like the society that we live in. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking about a perfect, essentially communist world. You know, in a perfect world, you know, nobody has to pay for everything. Everybody just kind of, you know, you have your farmers that do that provide the food. You have the people who fucking are the cleaners, and you have the builders and all this shit, and we all live in harmony and do everything for each other. Like, yeah, that'd be great. But there is evil in the world. And even in your belief, there are people that go to hell. You know, there's going to be people that only think for themselves. And yeah, you know, buying, you can consider, if you want to say this, you can consider me buying a PC instead of giving that to the lesser fortunate people. You can consider that selfish. I understand that kind of basis. But at the same time, it's like, you know, who's looking out for me? You know, yes, I'm more affluent than the people in Africa, and I could provide them food. Mm-hmm. But what about the multimillionaires? Why can't they provide for me? If they bought me a fucking Tesla, decked out, I'm dead ass. If they bought me a fucking decked out Tesla, you know what that would do to their fucking bank account? Nothing.
I feel
because they have 25 Bugattis sitting in the garage right now. You know? So yeah, like, yeah, I should think about other people. But again, who the fuck's thinking about me? God, yes. But he, to our point, he's not going to do this big thing, right, to make my life better. I have to essentially make it myself. So I'm not going to, I feel like that's kind of a big disconnect for me, you know? Like, but yeah, like it's just, yeah, like that's, you're talking about like a perfect world.
No, and I can't, but I know that it goes back to our point, right? Like, life just doesn't work like that, right? And we know that. Why? Because evil does exist. Evil exists in us, right? The moment we're born with that sin in our lives, right? Even you ask about babies, right? Babies, like, do they, if a baby dies, do they go to hell, right?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, right? When a baby cries, just kind of hear me out on this, right? A baby is extremely selfish. It's demanding something. Granted, it is for its survival, but it's demanding something. And it's saying, I want my mom's milk. You're not giving my mom's milk. And what's it doing? It's throwing a tantrum. It's angry. It's frustrated. It's screaming out. And I believe that God has a soft spot in place for, you know, infants and all that, right? For whatever happens to them. I don't know. I'm not God. That's not my problem, mm-hmm. right? I already got enough problems of my own, right? And so I don't have time to, like, try to figure out every answer into this world. One thing I know is this, right? Is that in my life, in that relationship, that we all have a certain level of evil in us that we're born with. Whether you're old and you're at the end of your days with whatever disease, you're in your prime 40s, wealthy, you made it, right? I don't know, whatever. You mm-hmm. have that money to buy someone else a Tesla and it won't make a dent in your bank. Or you're like us in those 20s and early 30s trying to like just figure out how to make it out there, right? Or if you're a baby, you're a teen, whatever it is, we're all in that place where we're trying to figure our life together. Mm. And my point is, I guess just to wrap this up, is that for all of us, that journey that we're walking with God, whether you know it or not, God is going to walk with you through that journey. There's a story that Jesus talks about. It's called the prodigal son. You can find that in Luke 15, I think, right? I might be wrong, right? And it talks about the lost son, or the prodigal son, right? How this son, he's from a wealthy family. His father has everything. His two sons, the older son, the younger son. The younger son's like, yo, dad, like, give me what I deserve, and I wanna, and let me do whatever I want with it. He takes that, and father's like, all right, yeah, sure, whatever. Gives it to him, and the kid goes off and like splurges it. Realizes that he has no idea how to survive in the world. Hits rock bottom, starts eating with the pigs, and then remembers, I could always just work for my dad. Right? He becomes utterly depressed. Says, maybe if I go and beg to my dad, he'll give me like a spot with like the servants. In that story, the beauty of that story is that no matter how far we deviate in our lives, that father was, if you read the story, he was not just going about doing his own things and it's just like, all right, whatever, like, fuck this kid, right? He was actually waiting for this kid to come back.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know if he's gonna come back. He doesn't know. The truth and reality is that he's human too, and he doesn't know whether my kid is coming back or not. But he's still waiting for him in the hopes that he will. And the moment that kid comes back, the father doesn't care what has happened to and what he's done. All he cares is, you're home now. Now that you're home, let me dress you into the finest. He tells the older servants, bring the youngest and most healthiest lamb. Let's have a feast. For my son who was lost has now been found. And the thing is, a lot of times we look at our lives and we take it for, and for those of you listening, you take it for a grain of salt, right? Whatever and wherever you are in your journey, right? God is not looking necessarily at like all the crap you've done in your life. But what he's saying is that like wherever you are in your journey, listen, your life is your life. In the expanse of who God is in all of history, we're just a tiny speck. That's the truth in reality. But even in that tiny speck, you still matter. He's saying, Paul, you still matter. Crusoe, you still matter. Paul, you still matter to him. We all still matter to him, even if you're just a tiny speck in this whole whatever universal timeline, I don't know, multiverse, whatever you want to call it. For God, you might mean absolutely nothing. You don't care whether you step on an ant, but God still cares about you. And in that story, at any point, wherever you finally come to that place where you say, God, I want to try this thing and I want to try it right, God's like, yeah, let's do this. Finally, right? I'm ready. But first, let's throw a party.
Gee.
Banger. Wow. A lot to think about. It's interesting.
How long was the episode?
It's not done yet. It is now time to go from the deep.
So far.
So crazy. First off, fantastic. Great episode.
I got something.
I also have something. Is it YouTube?
No.
Okay. You want to go first?
So my friend Louie actually sent the picture during the podcast. He goes, gang shit.
Hey.
And sends our merch. Thanks a lot, Louie, for listening and supporting the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
dude, the merch is tough. Merch. As you guys know, we have a giveaway this season. Comment on any of our Instagram posts. Giveaway with a topic suggestion, a question you have for us, anything. And then you get entered in a giveaway. The giveaway will be sweatpants, logoed out.
Yeah.
That'll be released later. Regardless, I also have another comment. This was crazy. So, shout out EJ Diaz. I met him at the gym. Did not know he listened to the podcast at all. It's like really? One of Andrea's coworkers. Cool guy, really fucking cool guy. But I'm on my email and I get this email from YouTube saying somebody commented on one of our videos. I'm like, what the fuck? And he goes, I'm late AF, but save the video. Remember when we did our final video, we were like, comment, save the video if you want. Yeah. It was the second to last one. So he finally commented, he said, I'm late as fuck, but save the video. So maybe we'll bring it back for a special episode. Who knows?
That's in the works.
TBD. Regardless, Paul, thank you so much for fucking joining this fucking electric podcast. Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been a blessing to be with you guys.
What a podcast. Longest regular episode we've ever had.
Ever. It's a record. It's an hour 52-ish.
Wow.
Maybe 53.
I don't know if we're going to listen to all that.
Hey, big game, Open Cup on Sunday. We're going to win. Find us at an MLS stadium soon.
Back.
See you next week.